Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Thursday, Friday, Eve's time calls it. And we welcome back a fine guest, the returning champion. He is pundit and podcaster Bill Press, our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, man. I missed you last time through. Glad to be a part today.
Hey, Dom and I were here. We were here. I don't know where we were. But...
Come on, man. I was having surgery. I couldn't make it that day. I was back on the radio the next day. I mean, how's that for a bounce back?
Anyhow, it's good to have the whole gang here. Hail, the gang's all here, right?
Yeah, right. Good to see you, Bill.
Bill, you know what's been going on here in our backyard? We got a Republican proxy war happening through the gubernatorial race. And we got Trump coming to Waukesha at the station there, 5:40 a.m. And I anticipate we'll be live at Trump next Friday about this time, because Trump's coming to the backyard of the other front runner. She's Rebecca Clayfish. She's the former lieutenant governor. So Clayfish has picked up the endorsements of Mike Pence and Ted Cruz. And to top that, Donald Trump is coming to her backyard, literally Waukesha, to go endorse and support Tim Michaels.
No, really?
Yes.
You know what? I wasn't aware. Look, first of all, this is happening all over the country, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Trump has endorsed some of the biggest bozos we've ever seen. Have you heard Herschel Walker explain climate change?
Or anything?
Right? About the bad air over China? Yeah. We got the good air. But the good air comes out, then the bad air from China comes over here. So that chases our good air back to China. He is effing crazy. I mean, seriously. And then he says about Uvalde after the, God, I shouldn't laugh, but after the massacre of those kids out on Uvalde, and what does he think about gun control? And he says, you know, I just got to see this stuff. And think, or something like that. I mean, he has no clue. And then there's Mehmet Oz, who commutes from New Jersey to Pennsylvania to run for the Senate. They found out he's got this condo in New Jersey he didn't tell anybody about. So he's on the Walt Whitman Bridge every day, pretending to be from Pennsylvania. And then, you know, in Arizona, you got the dueling governor candidates, Pence and Trump. Now you got it in Wisconsin. You know, I got to tell you, I've been saying this for a long time. The bloom is coming off the rose when it comes to Donald Trump, man. His fortunes are sinking. He had a bad week this week, right? He came to Washington, D.C., and nobody gave a rat's ass if he was in town or not, right? Or he had made no news with his speech, because all he did was whine about having the election stolen from, which nobody freaking wants to hear, right? And then we find out that you've heard me dump on Merrick Garland a lot because Trump's not already behind bars, but everybody said Merrick Garland is wimping out. They're not conducting their own investigation. Now we find out, oh, yes, they are.
They're
doing a parallel investigation with the January 6th committee. They're sharing transcripts, and they've got over 855 people who attacked the Capitol that day, who were there in the mob, that they filed charges against. Now they've gone up the chain of command, and they are inside the Trump White House. Mark Short, Greg Jacob, so Mike Pence's chief of staff, Mike Pence's chief counsel, Cassidy Hutchinson is working with them. I saw today Steve Mnuchin met with them today. Man, they are breathing down Trump's neck.
Mick Mulvaney also was in there today as well. Mick Mulvaney.
I want to see Mark Meadows giving testimony under oath, under subpoena. If Meadows gives testimony, it's all over for Trump.
I think it's all over for Mark Meadows. I got to tell you, that the person's going to be sharing that cell with Trump is Mark Meadows, man.
Not if he rolls over first, Bill.
Yeah, that's the only way he can save his ass. Right. Yeah. But you know what? So meanwhile, Trump is out there playing golf with the Saudis, right? And sticking his finger in the eye of the 9/11 families.
Yeah.
I mean, he said today, nobody ever got to the bottom of 9/11. Hey, yes, we did, Donald Trump. 15 of the 19 terrorists were from Saudi Arabia. Where have you been, nutball? Anyhow, so.
How do you really feel, Bill?
When it's a bad week for Donald Trump, it's a good week for the rest of us.
Absolutely.
What do you think about Joe Biden's week and the prospect of some positive legislation? And did perhaps the Dems put one over on the Republicans because they got bipartisan support on the semiconductors? And Don pointed out to me, but Bernie Sanders hates that bill. But anyways, they claim victory. They all get to claim victory. And then bada bing, bada boom, maybe we got a Manchin-Schumer deal and a second victory for the Dems. And a lot of the Republicans that supported the earlier bill would not have supported a second, the first bill if they knew there was a second bill. Bill, what do you think? Did we put one over on him for a change?
Sounds like log rolling to me, Bill.
First of all, Biden's had a good week. Hey, yeah. He's over COVID, right? You know, he did it. He took the medication. He worked while he was there isolated at the White House with his dog. So he's back on the job. I mean, he never left the job, but he's back working in person. That's good. You're right. We all thought 2 weeks ago, man, I came that close to writing a column about Joe Manchin, just really ripping him apart. I'm glad I didn't, because he's sort of come back. We'll see how long this lasts. Yeah,
put it on the back burner, Bill. He might want to pull that out sometime soon.
I know, but we'll see how long. But it looks like he's come around, and that means it's not Build Back Better, but it's more than anybody expected to get out of this Senate on climate change, this deal that the Manchin-Schumer deal, right? And you're right. Mitch McConnell got outfoxed. And by the way, that doesn't happen very often. But Schumer pulled the rug right out from Mitch McConnell, because McConnell said, oh, no, we're never going to have a vote on this CHIPS bill unless you drop that Build Back Better or the climate bill, right? And so Manchin and Schumer just kept their mouth shut, kept it zip, voted on the CHIPS bill. It went out. And then Mitch McConnell said, whoa, wait. And then they brought back Build Back. And then McConnell said, wait, that wasn't part of the deal. And Schumer said, guess what, buddy? And so he calls Steve Scalise, right, and says, you guys have to oppose this CHIPS bill now because they double-crossed me in the Senate. And you saw what happened today. You know, I forget how many Republicans voted for it. Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy could not even deliver their own caucus. That bill is on its way to Biden's desk, and he's going to sign it. And this afternoon, he had another press conference praising the Manchin-Schumer deal, which with all that, by the way, more money, more action on climate change than ever in the history of the United States. Good for Joe Biden.
Yes.
Well, it'll still be insufficient. We're all going to die still, Bill, but I'm glad at least we'll have something to run on the midterms on.
We won't die as fast.
Oh, well, right. Nobody makes it out of here alive, right, Bill?
That's why we need our own space station. We can't depend on the Russians.
Well, I hear the Chinese space station could be dropping on our heads this weekend. Your chances are about the same as the megabucks.
So, it's looking better. But I think you're right. I think the Democrats are going to have, a strong case going into the midterms. I've never been, we've talked about this, I haven't been as pessimistic about the midterms, certainly not in the Senate. I think we hold on to the Senate, pick up a couple of seats in the Senate. The case.
Do we build, Bill, do you think there's a chance we build on in the Senate, get a couple more in? I mean, there's a chance Wisconsin's tightening up now. It looks like we got a couple of senatorial, Democratic senatorial candidates drop out. It really looks like Mandela Barnes has the best chance. Godlewski's still in it, still some competition there. But if it comes down to Ron Johnson, Mandela Barnes, maybe we pick up Wisconsin. Maybe there's another one.
I mean, do you think that? Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me J.D. Nance is appealing to anyone but the worst sort of Trumpists in the state of Ohio. Tim Ryan could be a pickup. You could pick up three, Bill.
Yeah, no, I think two or three. Look, Tim Ryan's going to win Ohio. First of all, he's a great candidate. His statement on the floor today on the CHIPS bill was dynamite. And J.D. Vance out there is saying, if you got a violent, abusive marriage, right? That should not end in divorce. The woman should stay there and just suffer and take all that abuse. Who the hell is this guy? You know?
Well, it's the Republican Party.
Really saying is, baby, come back.
That's the Republican Party. That's the family values. I mean, Bill, you're going to stick around for another segment. Make sure we got a little time for you after the break. Okay. So before we go, we got a minute and a half left. What's your sense on what's going on in the Republican Party right now? We talked a little bit earlier about, Trump endorsing different people than Pence and down in Florida. What's your sense?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I was going to add. Meanwhile, the Democrats are getting things done. They have to make sure that people know they're getting things done and they're doing the right thing. What's the Republican agenda? The Republican is, we're going to take freedom away from every woman in America, the freedom to control our own bodies. We're going to make sure that everybody's got a right to walk around with an AR. Not going to protect their school kids. And vaccines, masks, we don't give a damn, right? How many people die of COVID. They're selling the worst. Democrats can sell the best. If they do, I think they'll be okay under them.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got one of our favorites on board. He is Bill Press. You know him from the podcast. You know him from thehill.com. The often contributor, but not a recent shadecaster, Joe Manchin. Save that for us. Come back. More Bill Press. More of you. More of us. More Devils.
What would you say you do here?
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Welcome to the jungle. Make sure you follow the Devil's Advocates on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio. And if you miss any of this fine program, you want to go back and relive it all, go to darnrnwi.com for podcasts and interviews.
I don't even think that's our URL, but you're close. You're close.
darnwi.com. I got it.
Bill Press, our fine guest. We're always close in horseshoes and hand grenades, Bill.
Close enough.
How you doing, man? Appreciate you sticking around. Bill, I know that the January 6th hearings are over, but the headlines have continued. But I think the American people were captivated in some way, shape, or form. I mean, the rating's pretty damn good. 17 million watched the most recent primetime hearing. Bill, did it just push the polls farther in the corner?
I'll tell you what I think the January 6th committee hearings have done. First of all, they've awakened the American people. I think they've made the case against Donald Trump. And I think they have scared the crap out of the Republican Party, because it's clear right now that this was not some spontaneous riot. This was planned. This was organized. This was directed by Donald Trump himself. But
they've always known that, Bill. They were in the room. They were calling the man. They're calling Mark Meadows saying, do something. Yeah, you know, Mike Pence was the response.
Yeah, but they thought they could get away with downplaying that and lying about it. And this committee, I got to tell you, I believe they're the most effective congressional committee hearings in our lifetime. For one thing, they were produced by a television producer who knows what the hell he's doing, right? If you've got primetime television, you don't let these jerks just grandstand and talk and bicker back and forth. This committee was disciplined. You know, they chose who was going to take the lead, and the rest of them sat there and just shut up. How many times does that happen on a congressional committee?
Never, because it's never. It's right. Never like that. There's always a Jim Jordan in the room, a Scott Perry in the room. And, well, you know, it was a real strategic blunder to basically abandon representation for any Trumpsters, because there's been no counter narrative, Bill.
Let me tell you, you know why? Because Kevin McCarthy is an idiot, a total idiot. He's the dumbest person ever close to being speaker, you know, in the history of the United States Congress. Yeah, you know, we know what came down. He appointed a guy to make a plan to how we're going to address it. And they came up with this plan for this bipartisan commission, equal number of Republicans and Democrats, put together by John Katko, Republican from New York, at the request of Kevin McCarthy. And McCarthy said, okay, we're going to I don't want that. We're going to reject it, right? So then Nancy Pelosi says, okay, we'll have a select committee. Give me the names of the Republicans you want on it. And he puts up Jim Jordan. Yeah. He's going to take his jacket off and then flail around, and he's just a nut. And the other guy.
Well, he'll end up as a defendant. I mean, him and Matt Gaetz and Scott Perry and so many of them. How can you serve on a committee investigating your crimes?
Right. And I think the other guy was Banks or whatever his name was, right? So then Kevin McCarthy says, oh, no. If I can't have Jim Jordan, then we're not going to have anybody on it, idiot. Even Donald Trump now says that Kevin McCarthy made a big, big mistake. So that gives Nancy Pelosi free ride, select committee. She brilliantly puts Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger on the committee, and Liz Cheney's run the show. I mean, she's been great. You got to give her credit.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. Our pal Bill Press sticking around for just a few more minutes. Bill, lots of other investigations going on. Fulton County, Georgia, Fani Willis down there. Some news coming out of there as well. Subpoenas. There's lots going on. What are your thoughts on that particular investigation and the grand jury proceeding?
I think it's a race. I think it's a race between the DA of Fulton County and Merrick Garland. And you know what? She may win this race. I think she's got a bigger pair of balls than Merrick Garland. And she doesn't seem to be, she's not tied up in the Washington politics, right? Oh, we can't go too fast because people will think we're political. I mean, she's gone, man. And she is putting the subpoenas out widely. Lindsey Graham, right? So senators here, members of the legislature down there. I think it's still a question mark about Merrick Garland. She will file charges, and I think she'll file charges against Donald Trump.
Ooh, I might take that action. Also, state of New York, Tish James, haven't heard a lot. You know, Trump and the kids were supposed to testify. Then mom fell down the stairs, and then, you know, we're in grieving, and we haven't heard anything really about that since. What's your sense of that? And, of course, the Manhattan DA, Briggs, seems to have slowed down a bit. What are your thoughts?
I think the new Manhattan DA is just is a wimp. Right. I mean, they had a strong case going there. And for some reason, which I don't understand, he basically walked away from it. Huge mistake, I think, on his part. First of all, for the sake of justice, a huge mistake. For his political career, a huge mistake. But Tish James, you're right. We haven't heard much about her, but she's also tough as nails. And she hasn't given up. A little hiatus now, you know, so we can all mourn Ivana. But she'll come back.
Bill, if Trump is indicted, do you think he will try to inspire violence, inspire an uprising, a revolution, if you will?
Huh. Look at January 6th. He'll stop it. Of course he will. And he'll claim he's a political victim. Oh, that's new. Yeah.
Bill Press, our good friend. Hey, have you dropped the podcast yet this week, Bill?
Podcast this week is with Bobby Lewis from Media Matters for America. And it's all about the One America Network, OAN. Oh, man, the crap that they put out. Yeah. And they are about to go almost off the air because Verizon is dropping them as of Sunday, this weekend. Yeah.
That's our friend Bill Press. Bill, always great to see you, man. Hope you're well. Folks, time for you next. What's that, Bill?
Okay, talk to you again soon. Thank you, guys.
Right on, Bill. Thanks, brother.
More Devil's Advocates on the other side. More of the callers. We'll take the calls. 844-967-2789. The happy hour rolls on.
Macro folks, let's get to work.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
It ain't no joke. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday Wish It Were a Friday edition.
Kind of is a Friday.
Always love when Bill Press comes around, podcaster Bill Press. And, you know, he's a candid guy, man. He's done mincing words at this stage of his career. So I always like the unvarnished Bill. I wish, you know, we didn't have the FCC getting in the way because he gets unvarnished.
He gets very colorful sometimes. As we all have a tendency to do. Yes.
At least these panelists. That's not permitted here, though, not on the air. Just keep it clean and you can be a part at 844. 967-2789. Dom, I want to bring your attention. Last week, there was the same-sex marriage bill and the vote. And there was only one Wisconsin Republican congressperson that voted for it. It was Brian Steil. But there was one that voted against, specifically, that's being featured in the Journal Sentinel, Mike Gallagher. Gallagher, a former veteran, right? Mm-hmm. And he was the guy that was, calling on January 6th for that crap to end and shut it down. And
only you can do this, stop this now, President Trump. Yes, he was very, very, he was in a heightened state when he was making those statements.
Well, let me tell you about the new courageous stance of Mike Gallagher, because he voted against the same-sex marriage bill. All the Republicans did, excepting Steil. But here's how he's now justifying it. You're going to like this one, Dom. 1 week after voting against legislation that would codify the right to same-sex marriage, Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher attempted to explain his position by pointing to a seemingly unrelated issue.
Shocking.
Apparently, Dom, he's in favor of marriage equality, or at least he told the conservative talk show host Guy Benson Tuesday, and he supports repealing the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which defined the marriage as between a man and a woman and allowed states to not recognize same-sex marriage from other states. But the Green Bay Republican indicated he opposed the Respect for Marriage Act due to fears the bill's language would allow for polygamy. Now, I know you're all down for polygamy, Dom.
Yes, we'll have that conversation. Please continue.
Well, that's mostly it. I mean, there's more, and he, you know, splits the infinitive, if you will, and, you know, parses the bill and says, well, you know, if it doesn't exclude polygamy, then, you know, maybe it allows for polygamy. So I got to be against the greater bill because, you know, I get an election in northern Wisconsin. And if I don't hate the gays enough, and find some justification, because I also have to say, well, I don't hate the gays. I'm just worried about the polygamy issue.
I hate to go down that road, but you do know me. I'm very liberal on these issues. If it's state sanctioned marriage, again, we're talking about state, not you know, whatever people decide to call themselves or live in whatever community they live in and do their own customs. If you're talking about state sanctioned marriage, you know, a marriage between a man and a woman is not defined in the Constitution. Right. So let's just start with that perspective. And you're going to say, OK, yes, it's OK for a man and a woman to marry, for two people to get married. You're going to start with the gender qualifier. All right. Two people. Then you're going to say, well, OK, not gender, but just two people. Well, I'm just wondering, why is it all of a sudden? Now, I could hear some arguments like, Social Security inheritance, right? If a partner dies, it doesn't the marriage partner gets Social Security, or you know, those kinds of things certainly have to be worked out. But I just have to say, who cares if three people decide they want to quote unquote be married? I don't see any reason why they should not be able to do so. Just like two people of the same or different sex. And I'd love to hear anybody tell me why that should be the case. What is it about? We already put gender aside. What's it about the number that matters now?
Are we negotiating numbers now?
I'm just looking for logic, man.
Well, let me give you a little more of Gallagher's logic.
Okay, please
There's
do.
A little more of a quote here. A couple of things he said. Gallagher cited a line in the bill that bars states from denying recognition of marriage between two individuals from another state on the basis of sex, race, or ethnicity. When it comes to federal laws, he noted, talking about Mike Gallagher, the bill doesn't include that phrase, holding that a person is considered marriage if the marriage is valid in the state it occurred. Well, you can see the problem, Dom. Those damn liberal states are going to bleed over the same-sex marriage. Or at least, I think that's what he's saying. Let me read the quote. So the second provision, this according to Gallagher, would force the federal government to recognize a marriage beyond two people if just one state permitted it. You know, probably California. I can see no state permits it now. You may view that as a low probability outcome, but in my mind, it's higher than the probability Obergefell gets overturned.
Yeah, yeah. We hear this a lot from these Republicans.
Wait, a little bit more. Gallagher added, we don't want to force the federal government to recognize polyamorous marriages that other states would be under no obligation to recognize. So you could be polyamorously married in California, a throuple, as they call it, I believe, Dom. That's what the kids are doing on the coast. You have a throuple, and you all enter into a consenting three-way marriage. Not just a menage a trois, not just fun bedroom stuff, but a legal contract, a three-way, and then what? You'd be forced to...
Another state would be forced to recognize that, right? So in liberal California, and you move to Wisconsin with your throuple, the state of Wisconsin would have to recognize that marriage.
And I'm your throuple.
And okay, so what? Okay, so what? Tell me. Explain it to me. Will somebody please? And if try to do it without using the word God or Jesus or my holy book. You know what I'm saying? Who gives a damn?
They can't properly explain anything because it's never conceived from rationale. It's usually conceived from gut or ass, right? So they don't really have the words. And then it gets real embarrassing because their kids expose them. Dad, why is that a problem? Well, God's will.
Right.
Because there's really no good reason. They can't explain the rationale. Just makes it feel a little icky. So, you know, God's will. God's will! You heard your father. Don't make me beat you with a rod.
So his defense for his defense for the no vote, I'm trying to think of the proper terminology here, is his defense for his bigotry is bigotry.
Weasel. He's trying to weasel out.
Bigoted vote against gay marriage because he has a bigoted opinion about polygamy or throuples or however you want to put it, whatever the kids are calling it now, whatever consenting adults decide to do with their own time on this planet was sent here by God. Yes, of course. So what? The minority should be protected. Is it really? You think in the history of mankind, there's never been a situation where there's been more than, one or two women in a relationship? Come on, man.
It's not accepted in common society.
Well, of course it's not, because common society is pretty bigoted. I mean, it wasn't until the 70s that black and whites couldn't legally marry in this country. I'm sorry, the 60s.
Are you advocating for the 70s marriage?
I don't give a damn. That's my point, Crude. If three people want to engage, sure, I support them. Knock yourself out. Be happy. Whatever it takes to get you through the night, baby, I support you in that, so long as it's consenting adults.
Do you know what a mess that would be at tax filing time?
Well, again, those
from a joint status to a throuple status.
I think there are real practical implications.
Do you know how many W-2s that could be involved here?
I don't know about W-2s, but it would have certainly practical implications. And I understand that. I think we should be open to that. And certainly that is a headwind. But to tell me that your God thinks marriage is only between a man and a woman, that doesn't cut it for me, man. You got to give me some practical reason why it's got to be one way or the other without saying God. Because I can believe, if my non-belief is my belief, or I can make something up if that'll make you feel better, I'll come up with a God, I'll come up with a system, and I'll tell you, I'll justify it using that, if that's speaking your language. But if you're going to have your religion, I'm going to have my religion, we're going to take those two out of the equation, right? Now we're going to have a practical conversation.
Well, there's a lot of, like, thrupling in the Bible, I think, right? Some guys had lots of wives.
Right?
They had the whole harem down in the tents.
So how
would you envision your thrupling, Dom? Do you see it as like a man-man-woman thrupling, a man-man-man, a man-woman-woman thrupling? How would your thruple couple look?
For my own personal feelings, I think it'd be a man-woman-woman. But I'm down. I just haven't found any men that I'm attracted to. So, I mean, who cares? That's my point.
That hurts a little, Dom. That hurts a little.
I love you, man, but, as a friend. my position is that who cares? I know you care, but your justification based on some biblical or mythological belief does not hold sway in a representative society where people have rights. And people, if you're going to allow, and people certainly should have the right to be with whomever they wish to be. And you can do it without an official state-sanctioned marriage. Certainly that does happen.
Let's not fool ourselves. What's that called,
an LLC? I mean, you have all sorts of people that are married and they're cheating on their wives and all those kinds of things, or they're married and they're swingers, whatever the case may be. And maybe it's just the sex and they're not looking to codify or make some sort of legal arrangement that does have practical financial implications. And certainly going to go visit someone in the hospital, for example, right? Someone's dying, someone has a thing. Well, you can't go because you're a thruple, but you're not recognized. Well, those same arguments always apply. Right, all those arguments apply. So, I guess from the perspective of Gallagher using bigotry to defend your bigotry, to me doesn't swing. I could see some financial and entanglements that would have to be ironed out. But at the end of the day, if people love each other to the degree that people love each other, it's not like men and women never end in divorce. Of course, if J.D. Vance has his way, you'll stay in an abusive relationship with women because that's good for the kids. So, I'm just kind of done with all of it. So, Gallagher can kiss my ass, and I'm not down. I don't want to marry another person, but if I wanted to, no one can give me a good reason why I shouldn't.
Dom, I know you're down for magic underpants, let's just say, but I never knew you were a Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Mormon.
Is that their thing?
I think it is. I think polygamy is sort of a Utah thing, isn't it? They got nothing but... They don't even drink booze for the most part.
Well, I mean, that's also kind of strange because my impression is at a very young age, it's just weird to me. So let me just put that. I don't know enough about it.
Sister wife then?
Any religion or mythology
that takes a village
going to, put children, but who are we kidding? I mean, look at all the abuse that children have gone through from in history. I mean, look, the Pope came to Canada and apologized to the indigenous for the evils that have been done. I mean, he could go on tour and do that forever, as could every single major religion and all the lost religions and mythologies of our of this planet. So if we put all that aside, what is Mike Gallagher? Why do you care if me and Crudy and Liza want to get married? I mean, why is that anybody's business? Why does it matter? Crudy, will you marry me?
I will. But leave Liza out of it, please. 844-967-2789. More her request than mine.
Yeah, but. I doubt it.
Now let's move on a little politically.
All right.
No one's picked up unless you want to talk polygamy, because I know Dom's down. If you're down for polygamy, 844-967-2789. Dom's looking to round out the thruple, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm just looking for a little bit of love in all the wrong places.
I've known you since college. You've been looking hard. A lot of wrong, bad, dirty, bad places.
I mean, it depends on your perspective. I love the love. I'm not a slut. I just love the love.
I'm a little speechless, man. I'm going to let you bring us to break.
All right. We are the Devil's Advocates. That is speechless, Crudy.
You're a little too sexy for me.
Very rarely happens.
I'm contemplating the marriage proposal.
You already said yes. You're pulling out now? 844-967-2789. One last segment. We'll be right back. You might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun.
Sleep with my wife.
Can we marry dogs?
Get back, witch!
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views. I took her out.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. So if you have something to say, join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Apparently, my wife is listening as we speak. And out there on the highways, the byways, she's down for the thruple.
All right.
But we're not her preferred partners.
Oh, no.
So the thruple, maybe you're included, but I'm certainly excluded in some way, shape, or form. So I'm going to turn topically.
All right.
I'm feeling a little hurt in my soul. But raw story, Dom. You know, when you need to repair your soul, you turn to the raw story. And I find this headline. Trump lawyer says coup plotters get a bad rap. They try demonize this alternative slate of electors. Oh, do they? Yeah. Your girl, Christina Bob, an attorney representing former President Donald Trump, insisted today that a plot to overturn the 2020 presidential election with an alternative slate of electors was a big fat nothing. It's a big fat nothing burger, Dom. During an appearance on Real America's Voice, Bob complained that her boss was being investigated. Instead, a President Joe Biden's son, Hunter.
I think he is being investigated.
And yet they're suppressing that evidence in that story and going after President Trump, who's done nothing wrong. If there was a shred of evidence that President Donald Trump had done anything illegal or not perfectly in line with the law, of course, they would have used it already. They would have already tried to indict him. Yeah, that is a good point. Why haven't they? But let me read a little bit more from Christina Bob, Dom's girl. Bet she'd be part of your thruple.
No, not really.
But there's nothing. They have absolutely nothing, the attorney remarked. That'd be Christina Bob. Bob said that a plot to overturn the election using an alternative slate of electors amount to a big fat nothing. I think we already pointed that out. Real America Voice host Steve Gruber decried claims that the Wisconsin presidential election cannot be nullified. Now, there's three crackpots in the state of Wisconsin pushing really hard. They're all elected Republicans. One is running for governor, and he still didn't get the Trump endorsement, right? Ramjack right. kind of got left out. But anyways, Real America Voice host Steve Groover decried claims that Wisconsin's presidential election cannot be nullified. Well, of course it can, Gruber exclaimed. You're exactly right, Bob agreed. Not only can they do it, it has been done before in American history. Has it?
Oh, tell me more.
Bob pointed to an incident during the 1960 presidential election when then Vice President Richard Nixon used a parliamentarian maneuver to count a Democratic slate of electors instead of a Republican slate after a recount determined John F. Kennedy won the state. Nixon received unanimous consent from both parties to count the Democratic slate. You know, they try to demonize this alternative slate of electors, which is completely lawful and legal, and it happened in 1960 in Hawaii, she argued. They were following American historical precedent. You know, because these righties, they're all about precedent.
Huh? Yes, of course. Well, they used to be until, you know, Roe v. Wade.
Well, no wonder why Josh Call is not, you know, investigated, or maybe he has, just not indicted anybody, not publicly, or the DOJ, because it's a big nothing burger, just like Christina Bob said. You'll get nothing like it, Spalding.
Christina Bob. Now, she was the one who her organization, her 501c3, bankrolled a bunch of Wisconsinites to go down and check out the Cyber Ninja, whatever you call that investigation, in Arizona. Of course, we heard reporting today from Kushner's new book that Murdoch said, no, it wasn't even close, but they still, you know, endorse this. So the whole, you know, it's one thing to look at any individual portion of the conspiracy, but when you take it all into its totality, I mean, it's a RICO case, right? I mean, that's exactly what it is. So while there may be some snippets of truth to it, and, you know, that's how a lot of these folks work. There's just a little bit of truth, maybe a little bit you can kind of roll up and say, well, see, this is how it happened back in the 60s in Hawaii. But, you know, that is not an overblown conspiracy between multiple people in multiple states after Trump lost a free and fair election that many of the folks who have a problem with won their elections on.
Well, I've got some reporting from Scott Bauer at the Associated Press out of the great state of Wisconsin. A Wisconsin probe found absolutely no election fraud.
What?
As it's being reported today. Let me quote you from the judge. A Wisconsin judge said Thursday that a Republican ordered taxpayer-funded investigation into the 2020 election found absolutely no evidence of election fraud. That was the quote from the judge, but did reveal contempt for the state's open records law by yeah. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and a former state Supreme Court justice corrupted. He hired, we're talking about Gableman, of course. Dane County Judge Valerie Bailey Ryan awarded about $98,000 in attorney fees to the liberal watchdog group American Oversight, bringing an end in circuit court to one of four lawsuits the group filed. Voss's attorney, Ron Stradler, said he was recommending that Voss appeal the ruling. The fees will be paid by the taxpayers. Great news, which is why the judge said she was not also awarding additional punitive damages against Voss. Costs to the taxpayers for the investigation, including ongoing legal fees, have exceeded $1 million. Here's a quote from the judge. I think the people of the state of Wisconsin have been punished enough for this case. I don't think it does anyone any good to have punitive damages placed on the innocent people of the state.
The innocent people. Come on, man. Are you going to take money from one taxpaying coffer and put it into another? It has to be punitive. I mean, you got to make a statement that you can't do this jackassery to this degree, and the contempt that they've shown, and the BS they've been rolling on us this whole time, it still continues. Man, it should be a $1 billion fee paid by the government to the government. Who gives a damn?
A little bit more, Dom. Voss and Gableman have suffered a series of defeats at the circuit court level, the American Oversight lawsuits. Along the way, both have been found in contempt for refusing to comply with court orders to turn over records. Bailey Ryan, presiding over her last hearing before retiring, expressed frustration Thursday. This has been a long and torturous process to get here. The reality is, whatever records they were They were either destroyed or they weren't kept. The problem for this court is no one knows when those records were destroyed. You know, state law requires you keep the records, but yeah, they did not keep the records. So, Dom, you're off tomorrow, but I got some fine guests in your absence. Peter Pekarsky, going to air his grievance about 420, excluded from the debate stage, excluded from the Candy Town Hall. But we'll make a little time for Peter. And also, Batman's coming in studio in the Batcave with me in Madison, Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. It's going to be a great 4 o'clock hour, an even better happy hour, because it's Friday, man, and then it'll be the weekend. Woo-hoo. Now stick around, Native Roots Radio, and if you're in the Shaw, Joel Clayfish, Raised in the Shaw.
So, Peter, what's happening?
Nothing! Absolutely nothing!